Meet Eddie Black, a Zambian hip-hop artist. He has been on the music scene since 2011. In this episode, we talk about his music partnership with renowned producer PZ Cables, growing up with his grandparents, his musical journey, where he finds inspiration, and what he has in store for 2022. Eddie also became a born-again Christian and rebranded as a gospel artist, releasing his debut album Just Got Saved in 2020. We talk a little bit about his spirituality and how he got there. Please enjoy Sir Eddie Black. All right, welcome to Conversations with Lila B, Eddie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I know. I'm very excited to have you on my podcast today because I think you're a very fascinating artist. I think you're a very, well, very kind human being as well. But also, I'm
thank you.
Your music.
Thank you so much.
So I guess for people who are listening and maybe don't know who Eddie Black is, maybe you could kind of tell us a little bit about the man behind the persona, if it even is a persona.
Where do we start? Eddie Black is a name that I came up with like right after high school, man. So, but I am a homeboy. I pretty much spend time, most of my time at home. And I was saying something the other day to my friend, like, if I've never told you about my grandma, are you even my friend? You know, because I pretty much spend most of my time with my grandparents. And yeah, that's pretty much what I do, really. There isn't much to say about who Eddie Black is behind Eddie Black or anything, no.
Great, you say that, but, but I feel like there is still more because, I mean, you can't be this super talented musician without, you know, even though you're a homebody, obviously you get out to do your show.
Yeah. What I do mostly is most of my work is online. And if you've noticed, I haven't done a lot of gigs in a long time. So I pretty much work from home. That's why I say I'm a homeboy. And I only go out like when I meet friends or go to the studio or, you know, take somebody out to dinner or something or go to the movies. But my life is really on the low. It's not so busy like a normal musician's life should be, you know, where you're at gigs every weekend or at the club or something. No.
All right, we'll get into that again a little bit later, but you mentioned your grandma, so tell me a little bit about your childhood and your grandparents.
So I was born in Itezi, right, which is a small town in the southern province. That's where my mom worked as a nurse at the Itezi hospital. So after some time, we moved to Lusaka, and then we didn't live with my mom for a long time because she passed, and then I had to move in with my grandparents. So I've been raised by my grandparents. That's why I talk about my grandma more than I talk about anybody else, because they've raised me. And so my grandma is like my best friend. She's like my biggest supporter, man. Like the first time I got nominated for an award, I remember back in 2012, I think, I got nominated for the Born and Bred Awards, and she took me to the salon, she did my hair and stuff. She made sure I looked nice for the awards. So she's been around and she's my biggest supporter, yeah.
Oh, that's such a beautiful thing. Like, you know, family support, especially when you're doing something that's creative, that maybe whether it's older generations or that people don't, it's an unconventional path. So it's always nice to have
it
that.
It is, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Because, you know, other people will say, like, which musician do you know that has made it, you know, like really, really made it? I'm like, You know, so that it's really nice to have somebody that still believes that what you're doing is something you can continue doing and make it in life, you know, because most African homes believe that these unconventional ways of making money don't really, they want you to be a lawyer or a doctor or, you know, but yeah.
All right, so you described yourself as a homebody and someone who's always at home, but how do you think that your friends would describe you or your grandmother would describe you? You as you, and also like you as Eddie Black.
To my friends, I'm the weird guy in the group, okay? Because you may not see it at home, but I'm like the one that incites the noise when I'm with the boys. You know, I make the noise and I'm the one who says, let's go to this place or let's do this or let's do that. But at home, my grandma, my grandparents know me as cool. I'm just a cool dude, you know. But because of the music, I believe they can tell that there's some bit of crazy in you, you know, because you're a musician. Everybody else is in, you know, doing other things, but you are the musician in the family. So I think they get it somehow. Like, so they understand if they ever hear a crazy story or anything. So they're like, but he's Eddie Black, you know.
Yeah.
So,
So for you, how did you get into music? How did you know that music was your calling or something that you wanted to do, and more especially hip hop?
I used to listen to rap music from my uncle. He's like my uncle, but because we grew up together, I call him my brother. He used to listen to a lot of rap music. He had this Walkman and Discman. He had CDs and tapes of Lil Chris and Ja Rule and, you know, a lot of hip hop. So he would make me listen to that. And then I got so into it that I started rapping at like 8. You know, I would always rap at school and, but then the beauty of him making me listen to the content was that he would censor it for me. Okay, so when you listen to like Move by Ludacris, my version was Move, Girl, Get Out the Way. Okay, so it was crazy, but that's how I got into rap. And I pretty much started rapping at like 8, really, and I've been rapping ever since. So it just got to a point where I started writing my own stuff because I wanted to like create as well. You can't just be reciting other people's lyrics. Yeah. So
that's interesting. So is there some sort of like how would you describe your connection to music in a more whether it's emotional or spiritual way? Like, what does music do for you?
I think it's my happy place. It's where I find my peace, really, because there's so much chaos out there. And when I'm in the studio, I feel like I'm at home, you know, and there you can't say or do anything to me to deter me or, you know, disturb my peace. That's where I find my solace, really, in the studio. And when I'm making music, I'm so happy there. You can't disturb me or do anything that will really harm me or anything. That's like my superpower, you know? So it really keeps me sane, I would say. Yeah.
So when it comes to making music, you know, we always hear these incredible stories from like musicians where they tell us like, my process is like this, or like, you know, Kanye moves across the country and lives in like the mountains to record an album. What's your musical process? Like, what does it take for you? Where do you find your inspiration? and how do you kind of go about creating?
There was a time when I knew so many songs by other artists. Like I knew the whole Carter Three by Lil Wayne. I knew the whole Chicken and Beer by Lil Chris. I knew the whole Thug Motivation by Young Jeezy. I knew all of Kanye's albums. So I would gather all this content, right? And then decide how to write what I was gonna write. So I spent like every day writing lyrics based on what I knew, right? But then I got to a place after I got saved. I listened to this documentary by Jay-Z called what is it called? Fade to Black.
Yes,
I think that's what it's called. Yeah, Fade to Black documentary by Jay-Z. And I saw his process, and he was in Timbaland studio, and they were making Get That Good Off Your Shoulder song. And then Timbo says, oh, this guy has like 20, 30 raps in his head, and he just goes in the studio and starts rapping. You know, I was like, what? I want to do that as well. So I prayed about it, really, and I asked God to help me to say, oh, if Jay-Z can do it, I believe you're bigger than Jay-Z and you can help me out with this, you know? So from then on, I believe from like three years ago or something, I got to a place where I can go in the studio and find a beat that I like and just start rapping from without writing any content. So I got to a place where I can also make music like that, and I can just go in the studio and rap.
That's incredible, yeah. Because you know, most people, you know, they're still, you know, the raps are on the phone, they're definitely written down, and we're not saying that that's a bad thing. Everyone has their own process.
But you mentioned
coming to a place where you asked God, so I'm going to go into that, which is, well, I don't know if you're a born again Christian or you just renewed your faith. I don't know how you want to describe it, but can you share a little bit about that journey and how that, you just kind of explained a little bit how it shifted your process, but did it change your music in any way?
So what happened was, in 2016, I was in a really bad place. I was making music, and I wasn't content really with what I was doing, and I wasn't happy. So I was trying to find something to hold on to, something real, you know. Nothing made sense at the time. So I would listen to a lot of pastors on YouTube. I listened to Joel Osteen, I would listen to Jesse Duplantis, I would listen to T.D. Jakes. And this one morning, this one Sunday morning, I believe, was it Sunday? But it was on the 16th of September in 2016. I was listening to Billy Graham on YouTube, and he mentioned something about the value of a soul. And he says, your soul is eternal. Your soul never dies. Your body can die, but your soul never dies. And you have a choice to decide where your soul lives after you have left the earth. And there's one of two places, either heaven or hell. So I was like, I really need to get my life in order right now. And that's when I made the decision to quit all the nonsense I was doing at the time and give my life to Christ. It was based on a sermon I heard by Billy Graham on YouTube. You know, so I gave my life to Jesus on the 16th of September in 2016. And so what happened is, immediately I did that, I started taking down all the music that I had done before, because I believe that I'm this new person now, so I can't go back to what I've been doing and the life I've been living. So I had to take everything down and start from scratch. So that has really helped me become the person I am today, because I had to unlearn so many things, unlearn new things about this Jesus that I'm following now, and this Bible and this Christian life. How do I begin to live this? So I started listening to more messages and reading the Bible and going to church, of course. I would go to church every Sunday and Wednesday and learn this new path. So that has really shaped the music that I'm doing today, because it's supposed to be based on what I've learned, and also to help other people learn about this path that I'm walking on now. So that's the idea, really, and that's how that has helped me.
So I just want to point out, so the 16th of September 2016 was a Friday, because I Googled, it was a Friday.
Thank you, which is
still a beautiful day, because I mean, hey, well, while the rest of us might have been thinking about going to the club or whatever, you had your connection and your moments with the Lord. So was it at all scary, even though like now you've given it over to God, but were you a little bit like resistant or a little bit scared about taking down your music? Because you were someone who like, I mean, I've interviewed you on radio, and I used to be on radio. We used to play music. So people knew you and loved that music. And it's not to say that obviously they don't love your music now. It's just, did you have like a fear of, oh, but if I get rid of this, like I'm really starting from zero?
Those thoughts will come to your mind. But then you get to a place where you know that, okay, God has got you now, okay? So it's no longer about whether or not I put out the hottest song, or, you know, it's about what does God want me to do? And I believe that he really wanted me to start over, okay? Because no matter how good the content was, if at all it was, it is from a person that was broken, okay? And you don't want to bring out the hurts that you have and give it to people. You have to heal first. Okay, that's why it took me some time to put out new music after the instance. So that's the thing, really. You don't want to be this hurt person and still get that and give it to, because you're reaching thousands of people, and music is a spiritual thing. It's not something that you just play around with, you know. It's something that comes from deep within, and you're sharing your life with others. So you don't want to put out something that will cause other people to hurt as well. So I believe that's just me, really.
So like, is there any, not that there has to be, but is there any difference now between like who your hip-hop heroes were before, or your musical heroes, and sort of who your musical heroes are now?
Oh yeah. Because like I said, I started rap really early, and my heroes were Ludacris and, you know, Young Jeezy and Lil Wayne. But now my playlist is all Hillsong and, you know, worship music. That's all I listen to. Though I make rap music, I don't listen to rap music anymore. I can't, you know, it's something that's been taken out of me. I'm not saying that it's bad for people to listen to rap music. This just happened to me, where I don't and I can't listen to rap music like I used to. I only listen to worship and, you know, that kind of music, church music.
I'd say that there's rappers who are in those genres, but you just don't even listen to them.
I haven't gotten to that. Maybe I will, but I haven't. Not yet. But all I listen to now is just worship music, and I think it still helps me with my music as well, because you wanna put out the right message, I believe. Though there's a bit of hip hop in the lyrics, because you are a rapper,
yeah,
you always say things that sound like, you know, you're bragging or whatever, but the overall message is always Jesus. So that's the idea, and yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting you say that, because yeah, it is true, like rappers don't have to just listen to hip hop or rap. You watch, like you mentioned, Jay-Z or whoever, you look at Kanye and his musical evolution, and people find inspiration, you know, through other songs. If you look at like Kanye and Jamie Foxx doing Gold Digger, where did that sample come from? So it's not that hip hop is, it's more like hip hop draws inspiration and stuff from all sorts of different genres, from all sorts of musicality. Mm-hmm. And for me, the reason I love hip hop is, yes, the musicality and the genius of like those beats and things, but also it's primarily lyrical for me. So I just love how people are, and I think lyrics are something that obviously it's genreless. So that's why I enjoy lots of kinds of music, because for me it's about the lyrics, it's about the message, it's about that storytelling.
That's the beauty of it, you know. You can still tell a story about heaven in a rap song. That's, you know, that's the beauty of it.
So going back just a little bit, there was a time where you were signed to a label in Kenya. So I don't know if many Zambians know that or many people were aware of that, but can you share a little bit about what was your experience with that? Like, especially because you're coming from the Zambian context, right? Then you're put into this sort of East African situation. And I'm not saying they tried to change you or wanted to change you. You can share about your experience. But like, what was it that you were able to like maybe, I'm not quite sure you'll tell us why it didn't work out or why it did work out. But like, what did you actually learn or gain from that experience?
Okay. So what had happened was the record label Taurus Music has a department called Play, and that department deals with VAS and A&R, where they distribute content. So what the first time I met with the label owner was in February of 2014, I believe. We had a meeting at Lunda Park, I think, and there was all these other musicians there. And they, I believe what they were doing was giving their content to the label to distribute. Okay, so I was one of the people that wanted my music distributed, because I had just released The Letter from Rhodesia at the time.
Yes.
And so that was how I met Ike, the boss at Taurus Music. And he asked, just randomly asked me if he could listen to my music, right? So I gave him my headphones and I played him one of the songs, just the intro to The Letter from Rhodesia. And he was bumping to it and loved it so much. He called me outside. Everybody was in this room, in this boardroom, and then he called me outside and he said, would you like to be signed to Taurus Music? And I'm like, okay. You know, so it was one of those things, was just random and it happened like that. And so we go back into the office and talk with other people, and then he called me outside again and he says, okay, what I need from you is to be like our rep in Zambia. Okay, because we're just opening up this office and we need somebody to. So I got a job at Taurus Music. I wasn't necessarily signed to the label. Okay, so I worked for the label as an A&R person, and I was like the rep for Southern Africa.
Just before you continue, for those who are listening and don't know what an A&R is, it's Artists and Repertoire Representative. So an A&R generally, from my understanding, is responsible for finding like promising new talents, like artists, the record label, or like music publisher, like people to sign, basically.
Thank you.
So, sometimes we talk in language that we assume everyone else knows, but they might not.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So though I was a member of Taurus Music, I wasn't so much under the label because I was there for work. So I ended up signing Urban Hype to the label. And I pretty much, so I pretty much did manage the group in Zambia, though there were other people that managed them from Kenya, okay? And I would do the promos and distribution and, you know, marketing in Zambia. So I got a lot of local content and, you know, like you said, I was A&R, so my job was to look for talent. Yeah, so that's pretty much what I did. Though I did release one single under Taurus Music, which was called Mujulu. And that was back in, was it 2014 or 2015? Yeah, so that, because I was already in the system, so that's the only way I could do it. So I used the machinery to release my single, and it did quite well, I believe. And it was all over Africa and stuff. So that's what I did for Taurus Music from 2014, February, to sometime in 2016, I believe. I worked for like 2 years for the label. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing, because it also just now shows how your evolution from like, okay, yes, you're the artist, you're making music, to now working in A&R and really understanding like the bones of the music business. Not that you don't see that as an artist, but being able to like see the other side and the money and the machine behind things. Is that something that you feel like you've benefited from in terms of, because currently I believe you're an independent artist, right?
Yeah, so I was so grateful, like to Ike is a, he's a hard worker, okay? And he taught me so much about, the first day we met and was like, oh, you're gonna work for me and do this. The following day, he made me go through all these offices that he was meeting people, and I could learn how to talk to people and how to interact really with business moguls, you know? And there's a way you talk to those people. You just don't talk to them like a rapper would talk to them, or, you know, so your language changes and your approach changes. And that's pretty much what I learned from him, and how to really manage music as a business, not just, because the average musician, I believe, just believes, oh, I make good music and it must sell and give me money, okay? But how do you get to sell the music? Where do you sell the music? And who do you talk to get to sell your music? That's what I learned from my experience at Taurus Music and at Play. So I learned so much, really, in the music business.
Yeah. So... I'm sure like a lot of people are probably listening and going, you know, I want to be in the music industry. I don't really know what to do, how to do it. Like, what kind of advice would you give to someone who is trying to just make their way into this industry, especially like now, there's so much that's changed from the time you started to like now, how there's so many platforms where you can self-publish or sort of self-promote. What advice would you give?
I strongly believe that it's important to delegate, okay? And there's this mentality that you can do everything on your own out there, and it doesn't quite work out, because, you know, when you have good music and somebody wants to like endorse you for something, it's very unprofessional if you are the one going to meet those people about the endorsement, for instance, or if there's a booking for a gig. People don't take you seriously. They're gonna call this number on your Facebook page and they reach you, the artist. You know, you don't sound as important as you should be if you are the person doing everything for you. So I believe it's important to delegate who does what, who receives calls or who sends the emails or who talks to clients, blah, blah, blah. So if you're starting out, I believe it's important to establish this circle of people and delegate who will talk to who will meet who, and how that comes back to you as an artist. So it's important to be important, because this is an entertainment industry and this is show business. So it's all about image. As at the end of the day, people want to see, are you what you rap about or sing about? Or, you know, so I believe to delegate is the advice I would give to somebody that's starting out. It may cost you sometimes, but you can start with friends and family. You know, like Rick Ross' manager was his mom. I don't know if she still is, you know. I don't think he had to pay the mom to begin with until he made money, you know. So it's important to have people around you that believe in you so much that they're able to help out. So get help. You can't do everything on your own, you know. Yeah.
And I think that's important, though, because sometimes, well, depending on what kind of person you are, sometimes it's difficult mm-hmm. to ask for help or to delegate, and you just feel like, mm-hmm. I need to make it on my own. I need to do everything. I got mm-hmm. this. And it's like, mm-hmm. no, because at the end of the day, not that perfection mm-hmm. is the goal, because I don't truly believe mm-hmm. there is really such a thing as perfection, but to mm-hmm. execute something successfully, to still have like a good balance of like your mm-hmm. mental health and whatnot, you mm-hmm. need other people mm-hmm. around you who can support you, even mm-hmm. if it's in the smallest ways, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like this the other day, I had this idea, right? Because I'm going to put out this song next week. Oh, this week. This is Sunday. This week, we're going to put out this song. And yeah, so last week, I had this idea for, how are we going to tell people that we're putting out this song? So I called my manager and asked him to say, okay, I want to say something about this song that we're going to put out, but I need to find a way of saying it that is not so obvious, okay? So I have this picture of me as a baby, and because the song is for my mom, about my mom, so I have this picture of me as a baby and I wanna share it. How do I do it? So he came up with this idea of saying, you know how when a lady is pregnant, they say, I have a bun in the oven? Uh-huh. So we could say a bun in the oven from Eddie Black with the picture of you as a baby, though it's not really saying what you are going to sing about in the song, but it's got something to do with the mother and the child and you as a baby in the picture still. Yeah. So I was like, oh, yeah, that's amazing. We could do that, you know. So I asked somebody. You know, I couldn't just come up with the idea. I don't think I would have thought of that if it was just me, you know. So it's important to have people around you that are willing to help. Yeah.
It definitely is. It definitely is. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to log off and come back because there's a time limit.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
And no, I'll resend a link if I can't use the same one.
Okay, sure. No problem.
And then we can talk about the single. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Talking about how you got like advice from your friend on how to like do the promo for the new single, mm-hmm. which we're excited mm-hmm. about. Mm-hmm. You alluded to that it's about your mom. I don't know if you're mm-hmm. even going to give us anything other than that. Mm-hmm. When is the single dropping? What can mm-hmm. we expect to hear, like sonically? If you can't give us like hints about the content or the name, but mm-hmm. What kind of sound can we expect?
It's It's this mellow hip hop, you know, and all I can tell you is that there's PZ Cables on the hook, okay, and you know PZ is an amazing writer, okay. He comes up with these beautiful, beautiful lyrics for. If you listen to PZ's song, I believe there aren't so many people that can write as good as he does. Cause I don't know, I'm not being biased because he's my friend and he's my producer, but he just makes this beautiful music. And so he came up with, I told him, like when I did Mystery Man,
yeah,
I told him that the next song I'm gonna do is about my mom, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I wanna do a song for my mother and I need you to come up with something. So that's pretty much what I do. And PZ just will make the beat in my absence. He knows me that well that he will make something that he knows I will like, you know? And then he, from what I told him, he came up with the hook. And then he asked me, what was your mom's name? He called me and asked me, what was your mom's name? And I told him, and he's like, oh, okay, that's it. And then he came up with this beautiful hook for the song, and I'm really happy about it. So that's all I can tell you for now. you hear.
Okay, all right. No, we don't want to give too much away. So you, mm-hmm. You mentioned PZ, and you guys have like worked together since when?
I've known PZ since 2011, mm-hmm. and that's pretty much when I started, you know. So I've known him, how did I meet him? I was looking for a recording studio because I didn't know many people back then who had studios. And so I was walking around in the hood and I heard music playing. So I went in and then it was a recording studio and I was really excited because that's what I was looking for. And then PZ came in. And we started talking. He's like, oh, I'm the producer, and there were these other guys that were musicians in the studio. And I told him that I wanna start recording music because the only I knew a place, but it was so far from home. So I was like, I need something that I can stay late and then walk home, you know. And that was that. It was close. That was 428. I don't know if you've heard of 428. Most of my old music had this tag on them, 428. That was the name of the recording studio. Yeah. So that's how I found 428 Studios. And that's how I found PZ. And that's how we became friends. Would stay late every day in the studio and leave it, you know, leave at like 10, 11. Sometimes I'd sleep at PZ's place because it was so late and my grandma would have locked the gate. So I would sleep at PZ's house. So that's how close we became. And that's how come we've been working together since. And I think that's how he knows me so well now, because he can make something knowing that is something that I would like, you know. So
yeah. It sounds like PZ is like the Timberland to your Missy or your whatever, you know, like the greatest combinations that we've heard of.
Yeah, so that's who PZ is. Yeah, so sometimes I would go to other people's studios, and they would make a song, and they're like, "Oh, let's record this." I'm like, "Can you give me the beat? I can record it from home," you know, because there's this peace you feel when you're recording. And there's this one thing that I don't like in recording music: it's limited studio time. You know, where you're told to say you can only record in the next 30 minutes. I don't like that. I want to be free to be creative and come up with what I want to come up with, you know. So it's easier for me to record at PZ's because he gives me enough time to do what I want, you know. Yeah.
So you also mentioned Mystery Man, which is the first single that I've heard. And now you have another single. Are we expecting an album? What's going on? Because, you know, the people need to know what exactly is happening. Are we going to get a full body of work?
The idea is to make an album. Okay, so this I can put out because I've already shared it on Facebook saying album coming soon, so I can say it out here. So that's what I'm working on, really. But I'm going to take my time. I don't want to rush into putting out content that I won't be happy with. So I want to take my time and record. If I'm going to record a single a month, that's what I'm going to do. But I want something good, you know, something that, you know, how the difference between fast food and a slow cooked meal, you know, you go to a fast food joint, you get your food instantly, and you go to a proper restaurant and you can wait 30, 45 minutes for your food to come.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to have that proper restaurant kind of album. Yeah. So I'm going to take my time with this. So expect maybe a few more singles or videos before the album drops. Yeah.
All right. And so going back to Mystery Man, why did you choose to release that first?
I think that was like my comeback song because I've been away for a while and I needed to rap. Okay, and you know, people tend to forget that you're a rapper when you've been quiet for a long time. There are certain people that are following the page that are still saying, Eddie Black, what does he do? You know, so I needed to put out to put out something. I don't know why they follow the page when they don't know why they're following it, you know, but there are those people that already know who Eddie Black is, but there are some that just get excited because they saw something on your page and they followed it. So I wanted to put out some proper rap and something that would say I am back, okay? And still explain who I am right now. So I had to mention the fact that, oh, I'm a born again Christian now and this is what I'm doing now, because there are still a lot of people that don't know that I'm doing Christian music now. Okay, we just remember, oh, Eddie Black is back, but it's the Eddie Black that they knew from 5 years ago. So yeah, I had to put that out and just say, okay, this is what I'm doing now. And it's still rap, it's still hip hop, but this is the direction we're taking, yeah.
Well, it's been really lovely listening to you talk about your journey and the things that you've experienced. And I think, for me, it's clear that obviously you and your faith, that it's a genuine thing. It's not a gimmick so that you fit in with whatever Christian nation narrative, whatever. It's from the heart. I just want to commend you for that. And just kindly let everyone know where they can follow you so that they can, you know, look out for the new single, look out for more content from you. If you can drop some of your Facebook pages, Instagram handles, all that kind of thing.
Okay, so my Facebook page is Eddie Black, and my Instagram handle is Eddie Black Baby, because I say that on every song.
Say it properly. Don't make me say it. Say it properly.
Okay. Eddie Black Baby. That's my Instagram handle and my Twitter handle. And my YouTube is Eddie Black. You find some music on YouTube. And it's available on iTunes, Spotify, Deezer, and Vesasani as well. So every platform where you find your music, you probably find Eddie Black. Yeah.
I mean, a special shout out to Vesasani. Not that they're sponsoring this podcast, just saying, you know, support a local platform, support the local artist directly. That's always the best way. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much for being a guest on today's episode. And we can't wait to hear the new single, because now you've got my mind racing with like, what's going to happen musically? What am I going to hear? So I'm very excited.
Me too. Thank you so very much for having me, Lee. I've always wanted to be on this podcast since you made me listen to it like over a year ago. So
I made you listen to it?
Yes, you did. because you told me you had a podcast, and I was like, oh, I want to hear it. Okay, I asked for it, but yeah.
Exactly. Don't make the people seem like, guys, Eddie's making it seem like I bully him. I promise I don't. I mean, I'm known for a little bit of bullying, but not in this context.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I listened to it like over a year ago, I believe. And yeah, and I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so very much for having me. It's been a pleasure being on the podcast.
It's been a pleasure having you. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Sir Eddie Black.
Peace.
Thanks for listening and taking time to join the conversation. Remember, you can find this podcast, Conversations with Lila B, on all streaming platforms. Don't forget to listen to past episodes and give us a star on your favorite episode. You can also leave a voice note, and who knows, you might be featured on the next episode.